Well, go ahead and take up the offer and we'll get that done and then we'll get started. As we was finishing up with prayer a second ago, special prayer. Pastor said, deny yourself. Scripture says to deny yourself. I don't think, have a real, as much as a grasp as we ought to have on how important that is. So if we'll be just real honest with ourselves, we're usually the thing that's in the way of God doing, either in the way or out of the way. You understand what I'm saying? Because one of the most important things, thank you, about the prayer that was just, that we just prayed, is the involvement of people in it. You see, you don't ask a prayer or request a prayer, however you want to say that, without not being willing to be part of the answer or part of the working it out. You know, and I don't mean any disrespect, and please don't throw nothing at me, but somebody that eats very unhealthy all the time, and, oh, I thought you was raising your hand, Jeremy. That's me right there. Yeah, Lord. Just saying this as an example. We eat everything fried, we eat everything this, we eat everything that, and it starts affecting our body because our body isn't made to handle that. And then we ask God for healing for that, and then we go right back to our fried chicken and our Little Debbie's and our this and our that and whatever else. You see, you have to be willing to be a part of the answer. And you who hot off the news press, there needs to be change for change to happen. Okay? Okay. Me and Angie had a pretty lengthy discussion on that the other day. Well, I guess it was yesterday. No, Friday night. Anyway, that's real important. I tell you what, Justin wanted some prayer Wednesday night. Man, there was just all kinds of stuff going on that could have stopped what was going on, but everybody was, I don't know, just, hey, let's get in here and let God have His way. And I love that. Oh, I love that. We need to have that every service. No, not what happened Wednesday night every service. We need to have a willingness to just open up and let God minister the way He wants to minister and do. That's why I was coming up here just a second ago. I was like, okay, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? Anticipating.
Didn't wait for it.
Right. We started off with prayer. I don't even know if we sang a song. I think we got up there to get ready and Justin come up here and I need prayer. Okay. Yeah. God's so good, guys. And that prayer led to another prayer, led to another prayer, led to another prayer, led to another prayer. At some point, we started worshiping and singing. I think that lasted about an hour. And I'm not talking about times, and this is some importance. You know, don't go flaunting that, hey, we didn't get out of service till 10 o'clock. It was really good. 5 minutes with God can be really good if your heart's in the right place. So don't worry about time, and don't worry about numbers, and don't worry about people. Think more about the quality of the time you're spending with God. And a lot of time, that's just when you yielded to Him and letting Him speak, letting Him minister, letting Him do. Anyway, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Then the icing on the top of everything when Scott got up to minister. I think the first verse he brought out was, my word will not return unto me void. Second, it's going to accomplish that what it's sent to accomplish. And then he brought up, I love this. Well, anyway, we need to get to the lesson, but he brought up Rahab. You know, she's in what people call, you know, Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith or whatever. Rahab, a harlot, outside of Israel, not a Jew, not part of anything. And she's right in there with all the ones of faith. I love that part about there. She, and I can't remember, and I don't want to go spend a whole lot of time on it, but she said, yeah, I do, but we probably won't. She said, we've heard how terrible your God is. Our mighty men, our warriors' hearts started melting when we started hearing about how God was delivering. This is Rahab talking. So she wanted to make sure outsider. You understand, she's not a Jew, not a believer, not of God. But faith comes by what? Hearing. And that was the trigger. She heard and said, for me and my family's sake, I'm going to do something for this God so that I can take part of the blessings and not the cursing, so to speak. I tell you guys, what Sister Louise just said up here is so key for the Brandon family right now. It's key. It is key. And all those that affects. If you don't do something, don't you dare expect God to do anything. You are. Are we not His hands, His feet? If we are the body, you need to be initiating. You need to be doing. God, I want you to do everything. I'm just going to go over here and sit under the shade and sip some tea. And careful, your gourd might be withered away the next day. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's. It's not about. I know it's not about an attendance list and all these kinds of things. And please understand what I mean by that. But if you can be here when the doors are open, be here. You'll not regret it. God ministered in just such a special, sweet way Wednesday night. And it's not that He changed or anything else. God's a God of variety. He don't do the same thing all the time. Doesn't mean He's changing. He just means He's got a lot of different ways He likes to do things. A lot of times we like to say, well, God works in mysterious ways. Well, then that's different ways, because if it was the same way, we'd be expecting the same thing every time, right? Wouldn't be mysterious. He's so good. He is so good. God's not looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few willing men. Those that would yield to Him. I mean, okay. Let's go to lesson. Lesson number 3. The dynasty of kings established. Remember, we're talking about the Old Testament and things that highlight working towards the New Testament. And all of these things are pointed towards Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what the Word of God is. That's what the Word of God is about. These things are written that we might believe, and that's that we believe on Him, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. The Word of God is about Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament is pointing towards that pivotal point. Yeah, Jesus Christ being here. I think the New Testament points back to Him, what He accomplished and what He continues to accomplish. We're going to be in lesson number 3. I want to bring out the points that God wants to bring out. One thing about the Old Testament, well, really the New Testament as well, is in studies and lessons that are prepared, is I want to be able to bring out what the author is wanting to bring out for history and for things of that nature. But at the same time, if it's not applicable to today, and this is just me, so don't throw nothing at me. You know, if you want to go to college and study history and all that kind of thing and stuff that happened thousands of years ago, and you know, and there's importance and stuff in that, but I want to make it applicable for today. Head knowledge is great, but if it isn't put into practice, it's just, you know, kind of like something else sitting on the shelf out in the shop gathering dust and doesn't get anything accomplished. Okay. Heavenly Father, we sure appreciate Your love and Your mercy, Your kindness and grace today. We thank You that You're here, and we know that You're here because 2 or 3 are gathered in Your name. You said You inhabit the praise of people. We know that You're faithful to Your Word, and we're so appreciative of that. Father, help us to be yielded to You this morning, yielded to Your Spirit, and allow Him, Father, to minister to and through us. Thank You for Your powerful, wonderful Word. Thank You for You, for who You are, for everything that You are, Your character, Your love, Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for Your wonderful Son. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for the adoption of us into Your kingdom, the Spirit of adoption given to us. Your wonderful Lord, help us to be humble and yielded before You. Thank You for the lesson that's been prepared. Please minister that to us as we study, as we listen, as we look into Your Word. We want to honor You this morning, glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis 49 and 10, I want to read right quick. Our golden text. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And to him shall the gathering of the people be? See, we're pointing towards that pivotal time of Jesus Christ. And the way God set things up to teach His people to be an example before the world was pointing towards Christ. Everything pointing towards Christ. Okay? Oh, okay. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. It amazes me. I'm as serious and just being transparent as I can be. I don't know if you call it in the flesh or not, or being a little carnal or what, but sometimes it's hard for me, or I struggle with, I don't know what words to even use. Usually on Wednesdays, a little more draggy than usual because we've been working all day and it's the middle of the week and been working and you got more work to look forward to and all these kinds of things. And a lot of time in my head, unless I'm renewing it real good that day and in spirit, I'm not expecting so much. If we're not careful, we'll come, we'll sing our songs, we'll pray our prayer, we'll whatever, and then we're out of here. We had church on Wednesday night. Good for us. What did we accomplish? I don't know. I come expecting, but I wasn't expecting what happened Wednesday night. I missed Dean and Tammy being here, and I actually had about 5 hymns picked out that we was going to do in line and this and that. I was going to have Dean sing, and I was just going to play the piano because it's going to be easier than having to do both and everything else. Now remember, I'm a little carnally minded here, not just totally. I'm just being honest. Is that okay? I'm transparent. Everyone's wanting us to take a rest. Anyways. Yeah, so moving on, I get here and I look over to Matt and I say, is your dad going to be here? And he goes, nope. I went, glory to God. It's like 2 minutes till and everything's hinging on. And I'm not, you know, I'm just saying this is just what I was dealing with. What was going on? Okay, so what are we going to expect? So I grabbed the book, started looking, considering this and that and whatever. Where's Justin at when he gets scripture started? And here he comes up here, or scripture started, when he gets service started with song, you know. The normal rut and routine, right? Anyways, God's wonderful, He's merciful, He's kind, He's righteous and true, and if we can just get over ourselves and let Him be God, just watch and see what He does. Watch and see what He does. I tell you, the faith to trust that God is God is something to be attained, not attained to, what's the word? Aspired to, or what you should search out for, more than being able to believe for cancer being healed. Or some great, wonderful financial blessing, or even the saving of somebody's soul. If we can trust that God is God, and, well, He said it Himself. Anyone that comes for me must believe first that I am God, and I'm a rewarder. I'm faithful to my word. If we can get that accomplished, everything else I'm convinced will fall into place. God is God. What's the greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay. Yeah. Amen. It's amazing. God's all the time. And here's why. God realizes we need a Savior. God, and along with us with Him, if we'll be honest, we're not perfect. There's things in us that needs fixings and help and things change, and some more severe than others. Okay? So what God wants to do, and Mitch says it so well, don't leave out of here the same way that you came in. Or you're kind of just kind of idling through things. Avery asked me the other day, he goes, Dad, what does the word idle even mean? I said, you know a car that's sitting out there the engine running, all this power, all this capability just sitting there burning gas, doing nothing, that's idle. That's the same thing we do. We've got all this opportunity. I mean, the world, way past the world of opportunity and abundance of opportunity with God. But here's the deal, to add on to what she was saying. If you realize you need something fixed in you, act on that. Go talk to God about that. Just in needing some prayer. I was walking about like this in the beginning. I was like, what's going on with Justin? Hitched and hobbled up here and got some prayer, and praise the Lord for our Miss Pastor over there who's so obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. And if we get to the lesson here in a minute, something they was complaining to Samuel about, the children of Israel, all your kids are a bunch of heathens and not acting right, and we're not going to have a successor to the prophet, so we need a king. Folks, Miss Louise over here ain't going to be around forever. Somebody needs to step up. Well, can we say it a little more pointed? Nancy, you need to step up. Dean, you need to step up. Eddie, I need to step up. Jane, all of us do. Are all of us supposed to minister like that? No, absolutely not. But we need to be fulfilling what God's placed in us and growing in that. Growing means change. Growing means doing something different than you're doing now. But thank God she was obedient to what the Spirit was ministering. Oh, I love it. You know, when we come to prayer, and there's times when it's just nice, wonderful prayer, truthful, yes, and everything, and then we just, you know, that's it. But then there's times when the Spirit wants to do some more, wants to minister more. And whether it's a more of a receptive heart, whether there's more that needs to be, not attended to, addressed, whatever it is that the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to do, let's let Him do that. Amen. Or it'll be like a little jewel in your pocket and Dwayne comes running by to take it back. That impressed me. That's something we really need to think about. Here we've been given this treasure. You remember the scripture that talks about the one that the Lord come in and cast the demon out and swept it up all clean, whatever? If something don't fill that spot and take care and guard that spot, the demon's going to go get 7 more worse than him and come back and try to wreak havoc on your life. You see, it takes us guarding. It takes us doing something. Yes. And please don't fall into the trap of, hey, we didn't get to preach, hey, we didn't get to do this, hey, we didn't get to do that, so there before we had a great service. You know how backwards that is? What's a great service is when we all get ourselves out of the way and let God minister and move. Whether that means whatever it means with whatever happens, it doesn't matter. What matters is God had His will. God had His way. Amen. Let's live in today. We cannot live in yesteryear. And we certainly haven't made it to the future yet. Let's live for today. Let's quit making comments like, let's get back to the good old times. Or let's this or let... The good old times were the good old times for those that were living in the good old times. Let's make today the good times. Let's make our relationship with God right now, for us who's living right now, good for right now. But Eddie, this and this and this and this. Yeah, we can throughout the ages list all the junk that goes on in the world. Let's talk about our relationship with Christ and how it... Let's focus on that. That's where our focus should be anyways. Okay, 1 Samuel. Chapter 8. Oh, almost had to put a coat on this morning. This is my favorite. I guess fruit don't fall so far from the tree. This is my favorite. I love this time of year. Cool mornings, and it warming up just enough to not need a jacket in the afternoons. Oh, that's I like it. Huh? perfection. It seems like each day this week leading up to today is just a little cooler in the morning, a little cooler in the morning. This morning, walked out and, okay, 4-9. Love spending time with you people, God's people, those that make up the body of Christ. That's wonderful. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel under Ramah, where Samuel was at, and said unto them, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Make us a king to judge us like all the nations. When you just read through Scripture, sometimes it's not hard to get the attitude of what's going on and stuff as you dive into it a little more. But this was completely ungodly. Let's read. This saying displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. So he went to talk to the Lord about it. That's what you and me need to do when we have something that displeases us. Stay off of Facebook, for heaven's sakes. Stay off of the grapevine, for heaven's sakes, and go talk to God about it. He's my best friend. I'm a friend of God. Show me evidence. Show me evidence. Okay. Verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of thy people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, they have rejected me. That I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt even unto today, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and shew them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. See, God's going to grant their request because of their request. That makes sense to you? You see, sometimes when you're ignorant of things and borderline stupid and you're borderline rebellious, God will allow what you think you want so it will teach you you don't want what you think you want. Because that's how He works. He is a perfect Father. He's not going to smack us around and put us in a bubble so that nothing affects us. And He's not going to just let us go out into all the sinfulness and horrificness of the world on our own. He's there. He's going to lead. He's going to guide. He's going to teach. And He's trying His best. He is trying His best with every resource available to grow us and to teach us in His ways. That's why He says, Be holy, for I'm holy. Righteousness and all these kinds of things. He's wanting to teach us, and He's going to use all things work together. Those that believe God, those that are trusting in Him, everything God can use to bring that about in our life. And that's what He's striving for. Okay, 19-22. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, Nay, but we will have a king over us. In other words, Samuel was trying to convince them, Hey, you don't need a king. Your king's going to tax you. Your king's going to take your virgins from you. Your king's going to call all your young men into an army to have to fight for you. All this stuff that's going to happen under a monarchy that God wasn't planning on. Because God just happened to want to be their God and let the people be His people, and that's it. A theocracy. God rules, we follow God, and there it is. Do you know? And that's exciting to me. Because do you know what the very end of the result is at the end of the book? I will be their God, and they will be my people. He's going to Himself come down. New Jerusalem, holy city, New Jerusalem, come down. I'll be their God, they'll be my people. That's God's design. That's what He's wanted forever. That's what He was trying to get accomplished with Israel. We want a king. All the rest of the nations have a king. I don't get it. I mean, I do get it because, you know, I can be that way myself when I get outside of what God wants for my life and start thinking carnally and start thinking the way I want things done and see how I think things ought to be and not allowing God to be God in my life. Yeah. Oh, where's Rose at? Transparent nugget. Okay. Okay. Sorry, I don't have a tie on to hook this thing to, and it's real close to my face, and it picks everything up. Okay. 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be likened to the nation. See, that's why. Why? Why do you want to be like those other people? I mean, Rahab was like, we want to be, you know, we want your guy, you know, she wanted to be good with, man, I don't get it. We won't be like everyone else. Why? No one else's God has brought them out of bondage. No one else's God brought those plagues and deliverance and everything else on the opposing team, so to speak. No one else's God has allowed them to cross the Jordan, the Red Sea, I'm sorry. And all these things God has done. And then on top of all that, all the forgiveness and long suffering with them. Nay, we want to have a king over us, verse 20, that we may also be like the other nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voices, and make them a king. Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. Chapter 9, verse 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold, the man whom I spake of to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. And then verse 10 and 1 says, or chapter 10, verse 1 says, then Samuel took a vial of oil, poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, it is not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be the captain over his inheritance. Asking a question there. So God granted the request, so to speak, of the people. We want to be like all the other nations. We want somebody to be physically here so we don't have to trust in something. We don't have to have as strong a faith. We want somebody to be standing before us, to judge us, to take us. You see where I'm going with this? Okay, next to Moses, the Jews regarding Samuel as the greatest prophet of the Lord. Samuel was the last and best judge of Israel. But when he was old, the leaders of Israel, seeing no one able to take his place, concluded that they should have a king. You see, there's their problem. No one else is going to take our place to tell us what to do. And da 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 da. Don't be like that. Take a lesson from this. Well, this one's gone. This one's gone. Well, this is separated. Well, this has changed. I don't know what we're going to do. God hasn't went anywhere. God's still God. You see, it's a real easy way to check yourself when change happens in your life if it moves you or not. If your faith gets violated and... It really shows you what you're trusting in. It really shows you what your foundation's in. I have been there time and time and time again. It's a test. It's a show. It's. But it can be a growing thing. It can be a good thing as long as you're standing that test because you trust in the Lord and not in the bank account, because you trust in the Lord and not that grandpa and grandma's around. And you trust in the Lord because, you know, instead of all these other things. Moses and Joshua were not kings, but prophets of the Lord. And after their demise, Israel was led by priests, judges, and the prophets of the Lord. During this time, the government of Israel was a theocracy, a government ruled by God through his representatives. Now the leaders of Israel wanted a monarchy, a government ruled by a king. Rejecting Samuel's warning, the leaders of Israel demand that they be given a king. And again, God commanded Samuel to grant Israel's demand to have a king. Soon after this, God identified to Samuel the young man... of Saul, son of Kish, and the tribe of the tribe of Benjamin, as the one who would reign, and this is the first king of Israel. Then Samuel anointed Saul with oil, telling him that he was anointed of the Lord to be the captain of his inheritance. 17 through 25. It's amazing to me. I mean, God is the essence or the definition of long-suffering, is he not? I mean, do we not, I wouldn't say test God's patience maybe, but is he not long-suffering to us? You know, if you're like me and you get silly sometimes, you know, you get so on fire for God or so passionate about something and zealous about something and wanting to do good things, and then the weight of the world or what's going on or whatever seems to kind of... And Scott's ministered about this on Wednesday nights before here. few months back about how we don't need to go through this, he didn't say it this way, but I'll say it this way, this roller coaster ride with God. We need to stay on a plane, continuing to climb, continuing to grow, continuing to get rid of self and allow more God in our life. Not have this, hey, this great, wonderful faith moment, and this is so wonderful, and whatever else, then we kind of get back into this lull because we get stuck in a rut or whatever, and then God finally is able to convince us to get out of that rut, honoring God, and everything's great and wonderful, and then we just kind of lose it, and da-da-da-da. We shouldn't be living our lives that way. That's a lot. Look at the example we're given. That's a lot of where Israel was at. God save the king. The king, this and that and whatever. And then the next generation or two. Probably because the generation before them didn't hold the reins up like they should have. Didn't hold the banner up like they should have. Didn't live the life like they should have before the next generation. And so it wanes off. And then don't live a roller coaster life before God. Just trust him. Trust him. Okay, 17 through 25. Samuel called the people together unto the Lord. To Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities, or adversaries, however you want to say it, and your tribulations, and ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken, and he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families to the family of Matri, who was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they had sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people, from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him to whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted, and they gave God, said, God save the king, like I was saying a second ago. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man unto his house. After God identified Saul as the one who would reign over the first king of Israel, Samuel called for a gathering of the Israelites unto Mizpah. It was in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of which Saul, the first king of Israel, belonged. Mizpah was also one of the places where Samuel routinely sat to judge Israel. Samuel reminded those gathered for the coronation of Israel's first king of all that God had done for them, much more than any earthly king could do for them. Therefore, Samuel warned Israel that they were rejecting God by choosing the king to rule over them. We need to be real cautious trying to get God to do things in our life that he's not intending for us, that he's not wanting for us. It sounds great to have a king to rule over us, I suppose. I don't know. I'm not in their minds. But if it's not what God is leading you into, just stay away from it. Whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, you fill in the blank. If God's not leading in that, don't mess with it. If you have a desire in your heart, you know, we can say things even like this. The Word of God says He'll grant the desires of our heart. Well, that's absolutely true, but that doesn't mean that's what God wants for us. And it's about learning His character. It's about learning His plans for us so that we can be in His will. Because you don't want to be out of His will. That leads to bad things. But the people were just so overrun with the best thing for us is something God isn't leading us into. It's what we want and what we want to desire. So to try to make this applicable to us today, let's not be so concerned about the promises that He'll grant the desires of our heart. The promise is, if I abide in His Word and it abides in me, I can ask what I can will. You know, those are great and wonderful promises, but higher than that is, don't lean to your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Okay? Acknowledge Him in everything. He'll direct you and He'll guide you. Because our desires can get off base of what God wants a lot of times in this case. This young man Saul was tall, stood head above, shoulders above all the most people. When Samuel saw that, said this impressive Israelite was him to whom the Lord had chosen, the people shouted, "Hey, look, he's tall, he's powerful, he's handsome," you know, whatever else they may have said about this guy. The outward appearance really impressed the people, and they thought, "Hey, this is our king." Don't be so moved by outward appearance. Don't be so moved by things that don't move God. Let's see. I'm kind of chopping and bouncing around here because we're going to run out of time. 1 Samuel, let's go to chapter 16, 1 through 13. It's so funny, this next verse, God kind of gets on to Samuel. Oh, wait a minute, what are you talking about? This is the man of God. This is the prophet. This is whom he's using to minister to the people. Guys, we are all human. And just because you got some title in front of your name doesn't mean, you know, your majesty or some exalted whatever. We're all still put our, how do they say it? We all still put our pants on one leg at a time. You know, we're all still, we're all in this together. No one's any above anyone else. Jesus said, the least of you are the greatest. So, anyways, it's just so funny that God does things the way he does. He's awesome. Wonderful. Okay, 1 through 13. The Lord said unto Samuel, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him?" You see, there's things God does in our life we need to just get over and move forward. If God causes something to die in your life and to get rid of, let that happen and move forward. Don't get stuck on, well, this is the way it's always been, so that's the only way I can ever function is how it's always been. Then you're going to probably just rot in, what do you call that stuff that's, is it scum or whatever's on the top of the pond that don't get no fresh water? It just sits there and it gets stagnant and it gets nasty and you throw your lure in there and it sits on the top. I mean, yuck. That's a good picture of our life if we're not willing to change and go forward with God. We just want to sit and be at this nasty pool of green gunk. Okay. "Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee unto Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now we're in God's will, you see. God says, okay, I'm picking a king. Why was this? Guys, this is all pointing towards Jesus Christ. I tell you, this is all pointing towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You remember the there in Revelations, speaking of Christ, it says the root of Jesse, the root of David. This is all lineage pointing down towards to Jesus Christ. That's exciting. Okay, verse 2. "And Samuel said, how can I go if Saul hear?" You know, and we might want to throw blame and say, Saul, God told you to do that. Samuel, God told you to do this, so just get up and kind of put yourself in his shoes and realize what he's dealing with. Saul had become a wicked king, had all the power in the world to say, go kill Samuel, and they would have just went and killed him. So you kind of can feel this predicament Samuel was in because he wanted to be obedient to God. He was God's spokesperson. He was God's prophet. At the same time, he was having to deal with the king who could take his life anytime he wanted to. Okay? I'm not saying it was right to reject what God was saying. I'm saying this is what he was dealing with. You know, Nancy deals with things we ain't got a clue about on a weekly basis. Jeremy's the same way. So is Matt and Tracy. We aren't all the same people. We don't all have the same lives. So we need to have some understanding and some long suffering and some brotherly love one for one another. When we see each other a little outside of the character of what we think should be the... How can I help? What's going on? What can we pray about? Something in some kind of a working together body of Christ like it's supposed to be instead of that group and sect and that group and sect and this group and sect. Well, it's church time, so I guess we'll all kind of come in here and butt heads. These things not ought be. Okay, get all King James on you there. take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice. I will shew thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came into Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? I love that. You know, deep down inside every one of us, we know God's God. Whether there's a good amount of healthy fear in there or not is one thing or another, but these people knew when the prophet come around, it usually wasn't good. And that should be a testimony against self right there, but a lot of times that doesn't motivate us to do anything until something like this happens. You see, if you're living in sin or allowing something yuck in us, somehow we get comfortable with it until some light comes and shines, right? And finds us out. You know, we're just doing our thing here, being whatever, and here comes the man of God. You coming peacefully? Why don't we live in a way where when the man of God comes, it's a good thing? Hey, let us hear what the word of the Lord says. Welcome, instead of it being some trembling wonderment, because we're not where we should be. Okay. He said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. It came to pass that when they were come, that he looked up on Eliab and said, surely this is the Lord's anointed is before me. The Lord said to Samuel, look not as his countenance. See, we need to look at this for ourselves. Amanda doesn't need to look into herself and say, well, I'm just this, well, I'm just this, I'm not this, I'm not that, therefore, what could the Lord? We are precious in his sight. His creation. If God says it, you can do it, because he's going to be there with you to do it. Ministry, prayer, I mean, whatever it is, whatever God's leading you to do, have the confidence in yourself that he's only going to ask you what you can do. And if you can't do it, he's going to be there with you to do it. And all I'm meaning by that, I'm not trying to contradict myself. What I'm saying is, we may not have the understanding or the confidence of that. So we think, no, we can't do it within ourselves. Well, he's there to help us and lead us and guide us in that. To teach us and to grow us in ministry, to grow us in what he's asking us to do. Don't look at outward appearance. The church is just drunk, obese, fat, whatever, with that kind of mentality, and we've got to get away from it. We've got to get away from it and start looking at the heart of the people. Oh, we could spend some time on that. Verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, look not at his countenance nor at his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Okay, and so they go through each and every one of them. We're going to try to save some time. Hop down to 11. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all your children? I love this about Samuel, because Samuel, you know, he knows God. Jesus said in one place, my sheep know my voice. I'm their shepherd. They're my sheep. And I love it about Samuel that he doesn't just say, okay, let's get out of here. You know, he knows God and he knows how God operates. Kind of like Jonah with Nineveh. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew how God was going to be. You're a merciful God and these evil, horrible people don't need mercy, you know. They knew God. We need to strive to know God like that. And it's wonderful. You know, Samuel didn't start questioning among himself because all seven sons just went by and we hadn't got to the eighth one. He didn't start questioning, well, God even know what he's talking about? Well, did I miss it or something? No, he knew God's voice. And God hadn't said, this is him yet. So he's asking Jesse, is these all your kids or not? Because he know God hadn't spoke up yet. Okay, they're about halfway through 11. Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for I will not sit down till he comes hither. In other words, no, we got one still out tending the sheep, this young, you know. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. This is him. This is he. The little runt out there watching the sheep. That's who God likes to use. That's who God likes to use. The little runt out there working. You know, a lot of these older ones, whatever they was doing, you know, whatever, pomp and circumstance, and David's just out there doing what he's supposed to do. David was just out there doing what he was supposed to do. Did you hear that? Can I say it again? David was just out there doing what he was supposed to do. A lot of times, we feel like we've got to get somewhere, or we've got to attain to this, or we've got to have so much money in the bank, or the real man of God needs to give us a call, or whatever else that's going to make us arrive and then be something for the Lord, when all the time He's just expecting for us to be doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. You see, if you've got it all figured out, what do you need God for? And understand the point I'm making. What I'm saying is, you don't come to some place where you're got it all figured out and everything's like it's supposed to be without God. You need God. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. Be faithful to His Word. You know what the blessing of being faithful in a little is? You've been faithful in a little, now you can be faithful to a lot. God's looking for those who's faithful to just do what they know they're supposed to do. Quit looking for something extra. Quit striving for something God isn't leading you into. Okay? You've not chosen me, I've chosen you, He says. I've ordained you. I've gotten you ready. I've gotten you prepared. And He's doing that in our lives right now. And if it seems like things are mediocre or not, you know, we could talk to Moses, who spent 20 years out there herding the sheep, watching the sheep. Don't discount where you're at right now. And the only way we can truly say that that's a full, absolute good statement is if you're trusting in God. So if you're trusting in God, you're doing your best to grow in His grace and knowledge, He's going to be ministering to you. He said He'll not reject you. He will minister to you. And He who began a good work is going to be faithful to the end to make sure that that's accomplished. So if we're truly trusting the Lord, be content with where you're at until He leads you somewhere else, until He leads you to do something. Amen? Right. Do things God's way. You try to do things your way, even though it opposes, especially when it totally opposes what God said not to do. Don't expect good things to happen. Be patient. You know, Saul had a lot of yuck happening, and he was concerned, and he didn't want to wait for the man of God to come and to perform that before the Lord, so he wanted to do that himself.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We have an adversary, yes. But we have one in whom has power over that adversary. We believe in one. We trust in one that is far exceeds that. So don't get so wrapped up in the adversary. Don't get so wrapped up in circumstances. Learn to be like Paul. He said, these things don't move me. I know how to abound. I know how to be abased. He trusts in the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, with all his strength. Let's strive to be that same way. Sister Louise brought that up just a second ago with that verse, and there is so much in that that if we could just sit and really ponder that meditate on what all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I know we talked about it, just touching kind of some high points in here. It really means something to love the Lord with everything that's about you, because that will start. It's like the helm of the ship. It'll start guiding things in your life in the right direction. You understand what I'm saying? This is important. Anybody want to grow, or we want to just move on? It's like the helm of a ship. It will start guiding you in the direction God wants you to go when you love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With everything that's within you. When you learn what each one of those things mean, and you start, oh, I've been doing this because of this, this, and this, not because I love the Lord, but because this is what I, or this is it, or whatever. And you start investigating things, the details of your life and why you're doing those things. And when you can start learning to honor God in those things, you may start cutting some things out that... excuse me. that frees up the way for God to be able to minister in your life. Like you don't even know that's what you want, but once you arrive there and that's happening, you think, oh, where has it been all these years? Okay? It's so much a self issue. It has nothing to do with God and has very little with all the things in there that's listed that is so promises and you'll do this in my name, you'll do this in my name. Those things are absolutely there and they're right and true. But far above that is trusting in the Lord, falling in love with the Lord, and doing everything in your heart, mind, soul, and strength for the Lord. Then you just watch how that guides your life into what His will is for your life. A lot of times we're trying to get to God's will and get to what we think He wants for our life with outside means. In other words, we're living our life. King Charles reigning over Charlesville, or King Tony, or King Tracy, or King Curtis, or whatever. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. But we're trying to operate in God's kingdom, being our own little king, and we're supposed to love Him with everything that's yielded before Him. Humble, humble, humble. And let Him be God. Amen. All right. I'll move on.